The first thing I did Wednesday morning was download the Guardian World Cup Daily Podcast to get their reaction to the Suarez incident. After they got through a series of puns, the panel discussed the matter and what should happen next. Simon Burton's take was very interesting. He said the moment changed nothing. If you accept Suarez as a beauty and beast proposition, then against England you got the beauty, and against Italy you got the beast. He has done this before and may do it again. As for punishment, the panel referenced a retroactive penalty given to Tassotti in 1994 for his elbow against Luis Enrique. 8 games for a violent incident that could have caused real harm to the player. Suarez's attack, while socially awkward, is not nearly as threatening, so may not receive a long ban. Anyway, a great conversation about one of the moments of this World Cup. And in case you haven't heard, a Norway gambling website posted a prop bet before the World Cup of 175-1 odds that Luis Suarez would bite somebody during the tournament. 167 people have collected as of this recording. On to the football. For the Group F games, I decided to start with Nigeria-Argentina. Soccer expert Paul Sayers tweeted just before kickoff that 2-1-0 wins for Iran and Argentina would leave Iran and Nigeria with exactly the same record, including head-to-head, and lots would be drawn. That would be crazy. Argentina started with a first-choice lineup, and Stephen Keshi used most of the players. They got the result against Bosnia-Herzegovina. One note from the broadcast was that Victor Moses was listed as absent. What does that even mean? This game got off to a flying start as Argentina scored first, with Messi blasting home after Anyema saved Di Maria's effort. Then Musa, who got a ton of crap from me in the previous game for his poor decisions and lack of execution, immediately replied with a curling finish past Romero. After that, the game settled down as Argentina tried to pass through Nigeria, who stuck to their task. I spent the rest of the half trying to understand the formation of Argentina. Based on the Yahoo lineup, there were no outside mid players. It appears as if Messi plays off the two strikers in a free roll, while Di Maria stays left. This allows Rojo to sit in and provide defensive cover on the right-hand side, and Zabaleta provides width down the right. Mascherano protects the back three, and Gago links the play. Aguero went down in the first half and had to be removed for Lavezzi. Could be a concern for later in the tournament. I figured after the early goals, the game would just run out, but then I realized that if Nigeria won the match, then they would play the second place team from Group E, while Argentina would have to face off against France. In injury time, Messi added his 4th goal of the tournament. He has been calibrating his free kicks during the first 2.5 matches and finally got his reward. A curling effort found the back of the net for Argentina's 2nd, his 4th, and the first real free kick goal of the tournament. The second half started and Musa scored again. His entry pass to Emenike was returned and Musa walked in and sent Romero the wrong way. But Argentina came right back to the other end, and after several chances were saved, Rojo kneed in a corner kick. Several chances went begging for both teams, but no more goals, and the game finished 3-2 to the South Americans. I feared the other match would be a snoozer, but it seems as if Bosnia-Herzegovina took out some of their frustrations from the first 2 games out on Iran, winning 3-1. This group was one of my best efforts in terms of predictions, got the order exactly right, and was only 1 point off for Bosnia. Towards the end of the match, Derek Ray read a report that a suicide bomber had struck in Nigeria, killing over a dozen people. This was the second attack in 8 days and darkened the mood around a wonderful tournament. Group E was the focus of the afternoon, and I decided to watch France-Ecuador. Deschamps rang in the changes in an attempt to keep players fresh for Les Bleus and learn more about the rest of his roster. Ecuador stayed pretty much the same as they attempted to make it 5-for-5 for South American nations qualifying. The French build-up play was quick and incisive through the middle third during the early exchanges, but Ecuador let them go no further. The first 10 minutes provide 2 talking points. 1, Sacco elbowed an Ecuadorian player defending a corner with no repercussion, and 2, the Swiss scored early against Honduras, which put the pressure on Ecuador. 20 minutes in, it appeared that Ecuador made a slight tactical change. They moved Arroyo to the outside left, Montero to the right, and Antonio Valencia came central. My guess is it was to do a couple of things. Use Montero to pin Dinia back, who to that point had been buzzing up and down the left-hand side, pack the midfield, which was being overrun, and get Tony V some touches. Was disappointed with the performance of Matuidi and Sissoko in the first half. Matuidi had far too many turnovers for a central midfielder, and Sissoko was a black hole in attack. Once the ball went into him, it wasn't coming out. Moving towards halftime, Switzerland scored again through Shaqiri, so Ecuador were in real trouble. Ecuador were nearly out of the World Cup 90 seconds in the second half as Griezmann's delicate finish was saved onto the post. Play went the other way, and Antonio Valencia was involved in an unsavory challenge with Dinia and was sent off. He exposed his studs, and the South Americans were up against it. Ecuador played on, but Montero was removed with 30 minutes still to go. For a second, Ecuador had France on the back foot, but Noboa's effort was well wide of the mark. From there, Leblanc turned up the pressure, but as the announcers mentioned, the French didn't do enough, especially against 10 men. As for Ecuador, they had every chance to move on, but their finishing really let them down. Looking back at Ecuador's campaign, had they not given up the goal against Switzerland, then they would have progressed. They played well, but not well enough. Shaqiri registered a hat trick against Honduras to win 3-0, so France will meet Nigeria, while Switzerland will tangle with Argentina. Got this group right, except I had Switzerland winning the section and France in second. Before I forget, another plug for my blog and podcast. My blog is soccernomad.wordpress.com. I post there about kits, books, soccer memories, and more. My regular podcast can be found at austinlong1974.podomag.com or on iTunes. Just search Soccer Nomad. As always, hit me up on Twitter at austinlong1974. Today is the big day, Germany against the United States. I'll be at Pepino's in East Lansing to catch all the action. Super nervous, but hope the United States puts in a solid performance. The Stars and Stripes have shown that they can grind out a result and also cause their opponents problems. They will need both to advance today. Just a reminder, a win or a draw, the United States is through. A draw on the Ghana-Portugal match, no matter the U.S. result, then the United States is through. Even with a loss, the United States could still advance, depending if Ghana or Portugal win, and depending on how many goals they win by. As I was recording this, news came across Twitter that Kevin Prince-Boateng and Mutare have been sent home from the Ghana squad for a fight. Maybe that weakens Ghana just a little bit. Anyway, Extra Time Radio looked back at the Portugal game, and while the blame for the last-second Portuguese goal could be pointed at any number of people, Germany is up next and the U.S. has to take care of business. The panel addressed the possibility of the gentlemen's agreement, but felt that this wasn't an option. Jogi Löw is under a lot of pressure in Germany to go far in this tournament and win something with a talented group of players. On the other hand, Klinsmann is positive and aggressive and will not sit back against his home country. As one of the panelists stated, it's not in his DNA. Jeff Carlisle picked out three key players for the U.S. against Germany for ESPN FC. Michael Bradley, especially in possession and delivering the killer ball. Fabian Johnson attacking down the right-hand side and giving Hawades problems while remembering to defend himself, and Jeff Cameron. Carlisle stressed that the defender needs to be mistake-free. So that's some info for the United States game today. The other matches involve Group H, but by 2 p.m. I might not even care. Until tomorrow, ta-ta!